Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
I try to do my best. I gave you everything. Everything.
Starlight and Campbell, Everything. The fifth track from our third studio album, Starlight One, and that's set for release on the 1st of September. And you can pre-order it now on a milky clear vinyl, CD and digital.
Well, that it's a bit of a showstopper really for me, that, because I always weep when I listen to it. It's so beautiful, so short, but I think we were talking to Andy Snipper about this the other day, because we'd been in an interview with him from Music News in the UK, and he said it was his favourite track. And when I listen back to it, you know, it brings back to me the memories of when we recorded it, because it was done very, very quickly indeed. You know, you played the Prophet 5, which is the keyboard. No reverb, very clean, of course, nothing on it. Then you went and did the vocal virtually immediately, and I think it was the second take or something, because it's so difficult to sing, and you know, we both were in tears, because it's such a, for us it's a very personal song, and when we're mixing it afterwards, I found it tricky, you know, because every time I listen to it, it got me, and it gets me every time. And with that sort of song, when you're producing it, you've got two alternatives. You either do a This Mortal Coil and swamp it in reverb, or you have something that's a lot tighter. And I thought that it was more contemporary and served the song better to do the reverb tight. And it almost, you know, the vocal, it sort of just comes in and out, but it sort of, it pronounces the meaning to me, you know, and that's why we did it like that. But it's beautiful, baby, and you just sung it so incredibly. So, anyway, that's it. What can I say about it, really, than that?
Wow. I know I don't want to... I don't have anything to say. Thank you for talking there, because it's like... I think everything was said for me in the song.
Yeah. I think so. The next thing, I mean, we've been doing over the past few weeks tracks from our new album. This is track 5, and the end of first side.
True.
So this is side A.
Program A.
And I think the way we wrote this and the way we produced it, it's meant to be listened to in two sections. So you're supposed to listen to side A, as you would do with an album, then side B. It wasn't meant to be listened to as individual tracks. And that, you know, so at the end of the record, it's sort of perfect, because when you hear what's gone on before, it's sort of quite bombastic, and then it just breaks down into this, and it really works, I think, as a piece, the album. You can, of course, pre-order it now from starlight-campbell.com. It's got all the links and everything. You can the three ways basically of buying the record. You can buy it from Bandcamp, digital download, and with unlimited streaming in whatever format you want or whatever quality you want. We give the highest quality you possibly can. There's a subscription option there as well, and if you I think it's £35, you can buy that. You get this album, you get everything, including the single that we just put out, Saving Me, and come a bit teary, and and everything we've ever done, actually. So everything we've ever done digitally for £35, so it's a really good deal.
Thanks, 22 back catalogue items.
There's loads of it.
And albums.
I think the exciting thing for me about this, and the reason why, if I was going to buy something, I'd buy this, probably as well as the physical copies, because what it has is that if you go for subscription, you get the two vinyl master sides. So you get the two sides when it comes out on the 1st of September. So you can hear it, even though you might have a vinyl player, but you'd better hear it as we wrote it and produced it, because that is how it should be listened to on vinyl. That is our opinion, the two sides. Anyway, so that's it. And then the other two options, of course, as Sue said, it's available on 180-gram Milky Clear vinyl.
Yeah.
Apparently Milky Clear is the best one you can actually get in terms of sound reproduction. We've gone to enormous lengths and great physical expense and cost to us and our
it's
psyche.
A piece of art,
it's
isn't
a piece
it?
Of art, yeah. Yeah. the vinyl, 180-gram vinyl, which is available pre-order, and also the CD, which would put us just as much work into the artwork. But of course, the vinyl, because it's got a pull-out sleeve, so the lyrics on it and everything else. Because you can't get all the lyrics on a CD, that's the problem, even on a gatefold, because it's just too much.
That's true.
Anyway, so...
And also, I've done special collage artwork for the inside of the gatefold for both the vinyl and the CD. And I'm so excited. It's taken me... It took me weeks because I was just... It just had to be right, imperfectly right, if you know what I mean, the way it felt. And I worked with Tiago Cruz as well on just helping with the, you know, fettling up the digital to get it all ready for the, well, we both did for the actual printing.
Well, you're in control of that, darling.
He's done a great job as well. And so it's been, we're so excited because this really is a piece of art that we've created for you to treasure and to connect together in the music. So, yeah, so that's what we've been doing and sending the album off for magazine review. So if you have...
And the first one, Andy Snipper, actually, that's why he called us for an interview. He gave us 5 stars.
Yeah, because he heard the album, reviewed it, gave us 5 stars and said he wanted to have an interview with us as well. So that'll be up on the Music News website soon. But the main thing is, if you're a magazine or if you know any radio presenters, get in touch with us. And, of course, we'll send you the music. And it's all about sharing the love, isn't it? This is really what this is all about, celebrating each other
and celebrating the tour
for this whole thing.
Yeah, so we've got
to say it up north tour.
Yes, it's a UK tour. Tour.
Can you tell the difference between our accents? It's funny.
It's
I'm
unbelievable.
A Herefordian.
The UK tour in September and October. The first gig we're playing is the Pioneer Club in
29th of September
in St Albans, and then we're going through for
Ross
14
and
to 15
30th, Brecon, Mid Wales, and on the 1st. We are at the Red Arrow Music Club. Oh, we're in Leamington Spa, the Temperance Cafe, on the 2nd of October. So if you live anywhere near Birmingham, come and see us there. And this show is all about Kent, because we are playing the Red Arrow Music Club in Ramsgate on Tuesday, the 3rd of October.
And it's going to be very exciting. There's lots of people. I know the tickets have been going very well.
Yeah.
I'll get them where you can. So this is all about bands from Kent. And when we looked it up, and when we looked bands from Kent up, there were so many artists and so many musicians that we're probably going to take 3 shows, and we probably will take 3 shows to cover this. But one of the most preeminent of these, well, they're all preeminent, really, but Bill Bruford, of course, was from Kent. And Bill Bruford was one of the founding members of this band. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Yes. Roundabout from their fourth studio album, Fragile, released in November 1971 by Atlantic Records. It was written by singer John Anderson and guitarist Steve Howe, and produced by the band and Eddie Offord, and recorded at AdVision in London. There's a lot of tracks recorded there. They wrote the song when they were on tour travelling from Aberdeen to Glasgow, going through loads of roundabouts on the way, and apparently the lyrics were written by John Anderson when he was spaced out on excessive cannabis, and he was driving through, and when I say the mountains come out and they stand there, it was like that was it. So he
Trip
wrote those.
City.
Yeah, he was. I won't say he was driven, but he was certainly slightly excited mentally. Anyway, so there we are.
Wow, what a track!
And go on.
I've never heard it before.
That has mystified me because we listen to all the tracks, don't we, before as we're playing them. And you know, so we can comment right after, even though you know them a lot. You know, you listen to headphones, and you're in this environment now where you're really listening. And you never heard it before.
No, well, I've never really listened to Yes.
Well,
just something that passed me by. Really, I have friends. I mean, Tim Allen, who I was in a band with, McGillow. Yeah. That was his favourite band, but I never really listened to them. But I could hear. When that acoustic guitar started, I could hear the influences in his playing, which is really weird. I recognised John Anderson because I used to listen to John and Vangelis. They were, you know, cassette tape in my mini.
You asked me where to begin.
When I used to go down to London, I'd be blasting them out at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving back at night. You know, I love it. It was so atmospheric. So I love John Anderson's voice. So there were elements of that that I really just felt like home. But together, and I've got to say, it's that bass. What the flying geese was that about? I mean, Chris Squire, it's probably very rarely for me, but I actually had to then have a quick look and see what he was playing.
Well, you know something? I was going to mention the bass, you being a bass player and stuff, but it's a bass player. You've never listened to this track, you've never heard of him. But to me, and this is a really controversial thing, and I'm sure we're going to get loads of emails of people going, no. But
what?
I actually think he's better than John Entwistle, because John Entwistle was the lead guitar player in The Who, really, even though he played bass. But, you know, he's very busy and all that, and it wouldn't be The Who without John Entwistle. There's no doubt about it, and Keith Moon, you know, because they had the original rhythm section. But I think that Chris Squire was very, 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 because he had a sort of similar sound, Marshall, cranked up, dirty, not a lot of lined in it, but it's very, very melodic and very, very groovy, very in the, you know, and together with Bruford on this, I think he did a magnificent job as a rhythm section. And this is my favourite lineup because, of course, it's got Rick Wakeman in it.
Yeah.
So it's got Wakeman, it's got Chris Squire.
I know Rick Wakeman.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I know of it. I went to one of his Christmas parties in May once, so I kind of know. Isn't it weird? But I just don't know their music. But this song, you're talking about this bass as well. He played a Rickenbacker 4001S bass with rotosound round strings. And the forums are alight with, did he play with a pick? What did he play? Was it really a Fender? I'm sure it was Sun. It was like all this. I
mean, it's obviously a pick.
Everybody just loves his sound, and it's like one of the definitive bass lines. And here I am, Susie Starlight bass player. I know I've heard of Chris Squire, but I've never heard that track before.
Well, amazing. And but you know something, this band, I've seen them more times than any other big band.
Have you really?
I have. I've seen them six times.
No way.
Accidentally.
What do you mean, accidentally?
Because I never liked Yes. I never got Yes. Because I remember going to it when I was at university, well, on and off, I used to go into the music shop, Barrett's in Manchester there, you know. And Paul Braddock, who used to work there, my mate, you know, I've known him for centuries. And great guitar player, actually. But Paul, he loves Steve Howe, you know, guitar. And I said, and he plays like a Fender Twin Reverb, it's a Fender Dual Shone, which is the head version sort of thing. And I always used to say, I can fart louder than a Dual Shone, because I was always a Marshall man, you know. And we used to have tremendous rows about it, but it was very, very funny, you know. But there's no doubt, I mean, Steve Howe's a great guitar player, very technical, very jazzy, very, very, but a great sound. And he's one of those individual guitar players, even though I never particularly liked him. I like him more now, actually. But he's one of those people that you just sort of, you know, you can't deny, because you can tell instantly it's Steve Howe, just as much as Richard Blackmore, just as much as Jeff Beck, you know, because he's got this sound. And Chris Squire, exactly the same. And they went through a lot of lineup changes, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, but this to me, because Rick Wakeman, you know, what a great
sensation, isn't he?
Yeah, what a great keyboard player. Yeah. And of course, by then, he'd been playing sessions, so he'd played already on Space Oddity, hadn't he? And loads of other things he'd been playing on sessions.
So how did you end up going to see them six times? Are you like Mr. Ben? You walk into a record shop, next minute you're at a Yes concert or something.
Well, it's all to do with my ex-wife,
okay.
Angela.
Yeah.
She loved Yes. So I got dragged along.
Excellent.
Kicking and screaming.
Good husband.
But the most important gig that I went to was with Commander Midi himself. Commander Midi is the keyboard player that was in Little Brother, the band that we got to deal with, a guy called Steve Dowd, who loved Yes, right? And he even once he brought a cape on stage. We meant him to take
Excellent.
It off immediately.
I love a bit of capage.
But he had a cape on. And that's not a chicken or a turkey, but he had this cape on, and he persuaded me to go and see him in Liverpool, and it was like a big marquee in Liverpool, right outside the Liver building, and I've got to say, they were fantastic. It was this lineup. I think it might have Alan White on drums, actually, but it was absolutely sensational. Sensational gig.
Well, I can't understand this, right? So, yes, well, I can, because they sold over 13.5 million albums in the US alone, 30 million albums worldwide. Their discography spans 22 studio albums. And in 2017, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's like with the previous members as well as the current, you know. I mean,
yeah.
That, crazy, beautiful, well, yes.
The main thing. white. Evidently, there's a difficulty. I know you're gonna be white, and I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait.
Wang Chung. Wait. Released as a single. I'm just trying to do it in the style that you sang. Released as a single in June 1984. And it's the second track from their second studio album, Point on the Curve. And that was released on the 16th of January in 1984 on Geffen Records. And it reached number 87 on the UK singles charts. And aside from the early singles released under their name, Huang Chung, Wait was the only single by Wang Chung that failed to chart on the US Billboard Hot 100. But do not fear, it peaked at number 17 on the US Billboard Hot Dance Club Play charts. There you go, Wang Chung.
They didn't do a music video either, did they?
No,
I mean,
didn't.
What band now would not do a music video? Anyway, you know, MTV and all that stuff. Now, Wang Chung, one of my favourite bands from the early 80s, and inspired me and Tim Wright and Steve Dowd, who we just got together to form Little Brother, and that's when we got the album deal and all that sort of stuff. But the most important thing about this is the use of synthesizers and all that beautiful, those arpeggios. I just love it. And I love, I mean, it's so electronic, it's so 80s. That drum machine, I'm almost certain it's a Lindrum. An Oberheim DMX, but it's certainly a Lindrum, that snare drum, you can tell. And when you look at the credits, there's somebody specially, this guy called Paul Ridout, who did the MC4 program. The MC4 is a sequencer. It's the same one that we used to have, the highly important box, for which the gig couldn't go ahead, which I remember seeing him live, and they were supporting somebody at Wembley Arena on TV. I didn't go. Crashed.
No.
Yeah, so they couldn't do the gig. It all stopped, so they were not doing anything for like 5 minutes during the set. Well, that's right. They had to wait. All the audience had to wait. They weren't very happy.
No.
And but it's amazing. And the producer, you know, just fantastic. Chris Hughes, Ross Carl. Chris Hughes, of course, worked with Tears for Fears.
Of course.
Everyone's Through the World and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, recorded at Abbey Road.
Lovely. I love Wang Chung, actually. I was actually surprised when I met you that you like this band. Well, love this band. It was like, what are you doing with Wang Chung in you? You know, and then obviously, the truth is revealed.
The truth is revealed. Well, yeah, and you know, I mean, it was very much at the time, because everybody thinks I'm a real rocker, and probably from this new record, when they've heard it now, and they hear, you know, if you look at our record collection, it's amazing. We've got everything from the Beatles.
We've
got absolutely everything, you know.
Yeah.
And but of course, the most important thing is that one of the members here, Jack Hughes, came from Kent, and that is
indeed
why it's in this particular show.
Did you get it then? I think it's really cool.
Yeah, but from, of course, this album, there's Dancehall Days, which everybody plays, and I was deciding not to play it tonight.
That's what I like. Take your baby birdie in.
Yeah, that's a great track. Because I always remember doing when I was doing the drum machine parts, I'd always do that, you know, that high. Take your baby by the hand. Yeah, there we are, at Dancehall Days. And but everyone have fun tonight.
Have fun tonight.
I remember when that came out, and it was disappointing because it was so poppy and what you call it, but it was massively successful in the US, so they weren't too worried about it. But I remember seeing a little interview on them It was one of these shows that they review records.
Yeah.
And they talked about the middle eight. And if you listen to the middle eight, if you listen after the show, if you fancy it, you know, listen to Everybody Have Fun Time by Wang Chung and listen to the middle eight. It's a great middle eight. Anyway. So
wow, Wang Chung. Wait.
Deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick, hit me, hit me, hit me. In the wilds of Borneo and the vineyards of Bordeaux, Eskimo, Arapaho, their body to and fro. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Das ist gut, sehr fantastic. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. It's nice to be a lunatic. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, as if you didn't know, first released as a single on Stiff Records in the UK on 20th of November 1978 and credited to Ian and the Blockheads. It was not released on an album, and I didn't know that until we did the notes. Written by a jury and the Blockheads' multi-instrumentalist Chas Yankel. It's the group's most successful single, reaching number one UK singles chart in January 1979. It reached number three in Ireland, Australia and New Zealand and top 20 in several European countries, produced by Laurie Latham. Now, before you say anything...
I'm not going to say anything. Do you know what I'm going to do?
What? Yep. Yeah, what a great sax solo. We're talking about sax solo, but might as well talk about it now. But the fact that he plays two sax at the same time, it's just fantastic when you see him play it live.
I did not know that. Well, I do remember seeing it. Did they do it on Top of the Pops?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... I'm sure they did. It was number one, wasn't it? So,
but love
the
that.
Song was recorded live.
What?
No. Boys and girls out there who've just picked up a guitar or are using Ableton, are using digital equipment to repair their
or an
track.
Artificial inspection of your whatever.
Yeah, whatever, a vocal, auto-tune, all that stuff. Injury is sat in the middle of the studio with a handheld microphone and sang it live.
Excellent.
They did it live.
Well done, Ian. Great
Norman
job.
Watt. Roy,
I'm not talking to you. That's the second track now.
How fiendishly groovy is that? God, it's so groovy. And the drums. Groove. It's groove personified. And Norman Watt Roy, he must be the greatest, he's one of the greatest
superb
bass players in the UK has ever produced. I mean, he has played with a lot of people, but he never seems to have got that... Pino Palladino, he got a lot of the session gigs, the Fretless, Wherever He Led My Heart with Paul Young and all those things. And Palladino's been everywhere. And I don't think Norman Watt were really, but on this, he's sensational. And I've seen him live, and he's amazing. Amazing, amazing.
He is amazing.
But the thing that really pisses me off about this track is when you hear it on the radio, they always talk over the end, and that guitar solo, ba ba da ba da da da, great, but it's that last run, you da ba da da da, and who's going to talk over it? It's beautiful live.
A non-musician talks over that.
Oh God, I can't believe it.
Well, we need to help. We need to help inform.
Yeah, we should.
We should send a note out to all our radio presenter friends. If you're playing this song, please do not talk over.
But because Ian Jury was like separate from the Blockheads, because the Blockheads were around before, and Ian Jury was around before, the Kilburn and the High Roads, and then they became his backing band, and, they went on the Stiff tour with Elvis Costello and the Attractions, Nick Lowe, Reckless Eric. I saw Reckless Eric's in Liverpool with Tim Rice, and Larry Wallace.
Crazy.
And What A Ways, Tip Me With Your Lipstick, this one. I mean, that album, New Boots and Panties, there's no grooves left on it because I just listen to the thing all the time. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Superdome Show, and that was Colosseum 2, Fighting Talk, Fighting Talk, the fifth track from their third studio album, War Dance, released in November 1977 on MCA Records. And you know a lot about this record.
I do. Colosseum 2, of course, John Heisman, he was from Kent, and that's why he's on.
Of course.
And I've tried to pick some different artists rather than the normal people from Kent, because, I mean, there's a lot of the Rolling Stones from Kent. There's lots of people from Kent that are really super famous. But
John.
Yeah, John Heisman sadly passed away pretty recently, really. But the most important thing about that track, his drumming's fantastic. He's always been a great drummer. But he never really got a lot of commercial success, you know. I mean, he was like one of these drummers that was really the shit. And yeah, everybody thought, oh, God, it's John Heisman. And you know, he did a lot of work later on with Rod Argent and Barbara Thompson, the sax player, who is his wife, of course.
Yeah.
But the most important thing about it is Gary Moore. Because everybody thinks that Gary Moore, and you still got the blues, still got the blues for you, prison walkways and all that sort of, Gary Moore could play guitar. That's it. Yes, he can play the blues. He was a great blues player. He could play prison walkways. He could play with Thin Lizzy. But this is him when he's really on fire. He was dueling there with Don Airey, with I think it was with the ARP Odyssey mono synth, and that riff. God, ba da do ba da dee ba doo da da doo. Great, you know. And then there's all these great riffs. I don't understand why it was more successful. I bought this record, and I wore it out almost. John Moe on bass, who played with Jeff Beck, of course, you know, and as I said, Don Airey went on to join Rainbow. And
he's
been in everything, you know.
Do you think they kind of like split up after those few albums because they hadn't really made it? Because, I mean, it must be soul destroying, actually.
Yeah, especially when you're doing great work like this, you know. And but that's the thing about Gary Moore, you know, and he was such a great guitar player. And I'd have an awful lot of time for him. The thing is with Gary Moore, though, you could never tell it was him. I don't think, and this is controversial, you can, as I was saying before about, you know, Steve Earle from Yes and Blackmore and Jimmy Page, you know who it is. With Gary Moore, he was much more of a chameleon. He didn't really have that thing. You know, here he's using Strat, obviously, and he was using the Wang Bar, and, you know, and it was all going on. But just, he's a great player.
Yeah.
Great, great player.
So these shows, then, about Kent, are because we're actually on tour in September and October.
We are.
Promoting, well, celebrating Starlight One.
Yeah.
Our third album.
The release.
And we're going to be at the Red Arrow Music Club in Ramsgate on Tuesday, the 3rd of October. And I was so... Do you know what I love about this gig? There's a lot of venues on this tour have actually approached us and just said, we want you to play. And it was just such... Isn't that lovely? And
it's
so,
absolutely beautiful.
So to thank the venues as well, buy your tickets early, because I know, you know, we're all in this together. And it's... Actually, we've not toured since before the pandemic properly, so it's our chance to come and say hello. And
we're going to make a right racket.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you that right now, because the
oh, yeah.
There's going to be a three-piece. It's a power trio.
Of course.
With a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody of it is worth. But a joke, but the
That was Bob Dylan, All Along the Watchtower. And, oh, sorry, no, it wasn't. It was Jimi Hendrix, of course.
You got me there.
Yeah, there you are. Of course, Bob Dylan wrote the track. We know an awful lot about it, but unfortunately, it's the end of the show, so we can't talk a right lot about it. All I can say is that our mate Phil Brown was a very young lad and working as a tape op with Andy Johns, who was engineering it, and his book, Are We Still Rolling? It talks about this, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Get the book. It's one of the best rock and roll books you'll
Phil
ever buy.
Brown.
Phil Brown, that's P-H-I-L-L.
So this week's show was all about Kent, because we'll be going to play Starlight and Campbell on our UK tour at the Red Arrow Music Club in Ramsgate on Tuesday, the 3rd of October. So if you go to our website, starlight-campbell.com, you can see all our gigs, you can find out where we're playing, and buy your tickets through the website. How exciting. Can't wait to see you.
Well, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So you can catch us on vibes.starlight-campbell.com,
yeah,
which is all good.
I've put some. It's my turn this week.
So
in fact, it's going out. Well, it will be out now. It's a photographic one with a little sort of reflection of the last couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah.
Because we've taken in turns, and sometimes you do some. But Vibes is a shared diary of thoughts. So I love that, though. So we've got the Supertone Show for the radio, which gets syndicated around the world, and we've got Vibes. And also it's actually on the Vibes as well, isn't it? On Substack.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So you have the Supertone Show there and you get articles as well.
So anyway, it's all about Kent, and the last track we're going to play is by
Squeeze.
Tempted, one of my favourite tracks by Squeeze, probably the favourite, sung by Paul Carrack.
Yeah.
With him on a fantastic Hammond organ. Absolutely fantastic track. See you next week.
Steeple, the but it's not my car.